So the last couple of days, we've been looking at verses from Matthew. In Matthew chapter 17, in these verses, I'm going to read these verses to you from the Amplified Bibles. It's 17, Matthew 17, verses 24 through 27. When they arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the half shekel, the temple tax, went up to Peter and said, "Does not your teacher pay the half shekel?" He, Peter, answered, "Yes." And when he had come, Jesus spoke to him about this first saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the earthly rulers collect the duties or tributes? From their own sons or from others, not of their own family?" And when Peter said, "From other people, not of their own family," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are exempt. However, in order not to give offense and to cause them to stumble, that is to cause them to judge unfavorably and unjustly, go down to the sea, throw in a hook, take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find there a shekel. Take it and give it to them to pay the temple tax for me and for yourself." So these are the verses we looked at. Now, 2 days ago, we looked at this because we're looking at this and seeing that there's two levels of truth here. There is that immediate, natural truth, which is very encouraging. But then there's the deeper spiritual truth that applies to everything. Now, if you're in a financial bind right now, the immediate natural truth is, we looked at 2 days ago, is that God is well able and God goes to great lengths. He will provide for you what you need. He will make provision. You look at how far God went. I mean, look at the depth that he went to, literally. Look at how far he went just to make sure that there was that money that was available for Peter and Jesus to pay that shekel tax. He had to arrange for, he had to make sure that somebody dropped a shekel into the Sea of Galilee, that a fish was there to take it into its mouth and not swallow it, just keep it into its mouth, and then go from wherever he was when that fish took it into his mouth and to swim right to the hook that Peter cast out. And then Peter reeled it in and had the shekel. So God will go as far as he needs to go. He will supernaturally provide for you. But it's not the kind of thing where we just sit back and wait for God to bring that provision. Jesus still told Peter, when Peter had said to those who were collecting the temple tax, "Yes, my master does pay the temple tax." Jesus then gave Peter an assignment. Peter's a fisherman. So what is Jesus doing? He's showing us that if you've got a financial need, if you're in a financial need, God will go to, he will get the money to you. He will supernaturally make that happen. He's not going to create money and drop it into your yard, but he will bring money to you when you put your hand to work. When you put your hand to effort, if you have a faith in Jesus and a faith that he is true to his example and his word, you put your hand to work, and maybe you're putting your hand to work doing something you've done 1,000 times. Peter had cast the hook into the water thousands of times in his life. Never before had he caught a coin. But this time he went with faith and obedience. God said, "Go, put your hand to work, and you'll have." And Peter did and received. If you put your hand to work in faith and in obedience, God will move through. You're putting your hand to work, and he will supernaturally provide. So that's the natural. Then yesterday we looked at the spiritual aspects of this. And we saw that this is talking about the temple tax. The temple tax we saw yesterday was from the book of Exodus, chapter 30. And starting in verse number 11, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses," so this is the decree of God that he spoke through Moses, "when you take the census of the Israelites, every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord when you number them, that no plague may fall upon them when you number them." So then it goes on to say that everyone then who, as they join the number, in other words, as they are counted in the census, they were to give a half shekel. That was to pay the ransom. That was the ransom that was upon them. What did God say? "Every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord when you number them." So the temple tax was the people paying a ransom for themselves because they had sin and there had to be a covering. They were ransoming themselves with the money that they were paying. So that's what took place in Exodus. And in Exodus was about 1,400 years before Christ, 13 to 1,400 years, depending on who you talk to. But let's just say 1,400 years before Christ, is when Exodus took place. So for 1400 years, the Jews are taking this temple tax. And now these Jews who are collecting the temple tax, and what are they collecting the temple tax for? Well, they're collecting it for the support of the temple, but it's clearly designed from their minds. They're thinking this is the ransom. Each man is ransoming himself, is paying for himself. It's a way of paying for their own sins. It's a fashion of that. And then if you look what Jesus said to Peter, and we just kind of touched on this yesterday, notice that in this text, in context, when Matthew is sharing this account with us, Matthew calls Peter, Peter. Why? Because that's what Jesus had named Peter. In just one chapter previous to this, in chapter 16, this is when Peter made that great identification when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Son of the living God." When Peter was able to identify him as the Christ, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." When Peter made that identification, that's when Jesus said, "You're now Peter. You're the rock." Peter means the rock. "And upon this rock, I will build my church." What's the rock he's talking about? He's talking about, basically, it's the faith of Peter. He's going to build his church on the faith of the individual to believe that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of God. Faith in that fact is what he said he would build his church on, and it's what he has built his church on. Faith in the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, just one chapter earlier, Jesus himself had renamed Simon and called him Peter, which we now see him as Simon Peter. So now let's go back forward to the whole story with the fish and the collecting of the temple tax. When you come to this story, Matthew, given the account of this, refers to Peter as Peter. But there's one place in this account where we see he is identified not as Peter, but as Simon. And that is by Jesus himself. Jesus, the very one who just a chapter earlier named him Peter, now calls him Simon. And when the tax collectors had come and asked about the temple tax, and Peter said, "Well, yes, he does pay the temple tax." Then he came to Jesus, and this is what it says. And he answered, verse number 25, Peter answered, "Yes." And when he came home, Jesus spoke to Peter about it, first saying, "What do you think, Simon?" Now, Jesus just named him Peter. Why is he calling him Simon? Because this is a moment that he's trying to get. Simon is reverting back to not having that faith, not looking at Jesus as the Messiah. He wants Peter to see him as the Christ and fully what it means to be the Christ, to be the Messiah. This is an opportunity for Peter to get a deeper level of understanding. He already has identified Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. But now Jesus wants him to see that what it means to be the Christ, don't go back to being Simon. See me for who I am, but now have a deeper knowledge. Right now you're going back to Simon. I need you to come back to Peter. I need you to be the one that believes that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is what Jesus is in effect saying. And he's letting Peter know, you've already identified me as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now understand what that means to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. Understand what it means. What does it mean? He's showing him here by this tax. This temple tax that he's about to pay, this half shekel for each person, it is a ransom. Each man will pay that tax as a ransom. Well, Peter, last chapter, already identified Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now Jesus is saying, as Christ, as Son of the living God, you need to see and understand that I am paying the ransom. I pay the ransom for all men. As Christ, as Messiah, I pay the ransom. Men cannot cover themselves. Men cannot give themselves freedom. Men cannot become free of the bondage of sin. Men can never pay the price. Never pay the price for their own sin. I have come to ransom people. And then he asks Peter, and we even see this. Let me just move ahead to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Let me just read all these to you. because I want you to see how this ties directly to what Jesus was saying. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty or wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk, not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. For the law and the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. In Christ, we are free of the law of sin and death. In Christ, the ransom has been paid. Verse 3, for God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh. The entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own Son in the guise of sinful flesh, this is how it says in the Amplified, in the guise of sinful flesh, and as an offering. Jesus was not sinful, but flesh is. Jesus wasn't, and Jesus in the flesh was not, but it's under the guise. As an offering for sin, God condemned sin in the flesh, subdued, so Jesus subdued, condemned it, subdued it, overcame, and deprived it of its power over all who accept the sacrifice. So this is saying that through Jesus Christ and through accepting Jesus Christ, the power that sin and death has over man has been rendered powerless. Remember that. The power of sin and death and the power that sin and death has over man through Jesus, through his sacrifice, has been rendered powerless. Verse 4. So that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move, not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. So this is who we are in Jesus Christ. So now again, remember, Jesus came, what did verse 3 say? Jesus came into the flesh. He became flesh. God sent his Son into the flesh as an offering for sin. In other words, to pay the ransom. The temple tax is no longer required because the temple tax was a ransom that each man paid for himself. Jesus paid the price. Jesus ransomed every single one of us. So God sent his Son into the flesh, and in flesh, he offered him, in that flesh, offered him for sin, condemning sin in the flesh to subdue, overcome, and deprive it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. So with that understanding, Jesus, Son of God, Jesus sent by God to this earth into the flesh as an offering in the flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh, and to subdue, overcome, and deprive sin and death, to deprive sin and death of its power over us. That's what Jesus was for. Now let's go back and see what Jesus said to Peter. Because again, this is the temple tax. So they came and they're asking, does your master pay the temple tax? In other words, does your master pay the ransom that each man is required to pay? Peter had said yes. And then Jesus, in asking Peter, look at exactly what he said to Peter. He said, from whom do earthly rulers collect their duties? From their own sons or for those not of the family? In other words, well, listen to Peter's answer. And Peter said to him, from other people, not of their own family. Jesus said, then the sons are exempt. The ones that have power, what Jesus is saying is, the power of sin has been broken. And so the sons, those who are the sons of Jesus Christ, those who follow him, Peter, you've already identified me as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I need you to see me for what the Messiah is, for what the Christ is. He's paying the ransom. We don't need to pay the ransom. We don't need to pay the temple tax because that is what I will do. And Peter, if you will understand this, if you will understand that I have come in power, and I have come as God in the flesh, and I'm going to be offered, this flesh offered as a sacrifice for sin, in condemnation of sin in the flesh, and to subdue, overcome, and deprive sin and death, to deprive sin of its power over you, because the sons are exempt. In Jesus Christ, sin and the power of sin has been broken. As a son of Jesus Christ. You are exempt from those things that the world says you must suffer. Since Jesus has broken the hold, the power, deprived sin of its power, because you are a son of God, you are exempt from the power that sin holds over you. That means that when sin says you must suffer sickness because there's sickness in the world, I'm not saying sickness is not going to come, but as a son of God, you are exempt. You don't have to accept it. If the world tells you, well, the economy of our country is spiraling downward, it's going to affect all of us. No, the sons are exempt. The sins of this world and the results in the power of sin has no hold over you because you are a son. The sons are exempt. Whatever the world is telling you, you must accept because this is just the way of the world. You say, no, the sons are exempt because of who Jesus Christ is. And because he paid the ransom, and because he defeated the hold and the power of sin over those who choose to follow him, those who choose to accept his sacrifice, they become sons, and the sons are exempt. You are exempt from sickness. Again, doesn't mean it's not going to come, but when it comes, you say, I'm exempt. I don't have to yield to this. And sickness will depart. Same for your finances, same for your relationships, same for your addictions. You know, the world says, well, if you're addicted to this, it is impossible to get free. Yeah, but if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the sons are exempt from what the world says and the sins of the world and the power of the world that comes through sin. You are exempt. Don't accept those things. Say, the sons are exempt. I'm a son of Jesus Christ. I've accepted his sacrifice. I'm a son, and the sons are exempt. And so the world and the things of the world and the results of the fallen world, they have no hold over me. This is what you stand for and you believe when you face anything that you face in this life.